The young women should be under the care of a wise, judicious matron, a woman who is thoroughly converted, who will carefully guard the workers, especially the younger ones. The workers are to feel that they have a home. They are God's helping hand, and they are to be treated as carefully and tenderly as Christ declared that the little child whom he set in the midst of his disciples was to be treated. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, he said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. See Matthew 18, verses 6 and 10. The care that should be given to these employees is one of the reasons in favor of having, in a large city, several small restaurants instead of one large one. But this is not the only reason why it will be best to establish several small restaurants in different parts of our large cities. The smaller restaurants will recommend the principles of health reform just as well as the larger establishment and will be much more easily managed. We are not commissioned to feed the world, but we are instructed to educate the people. In the smaller restaurants, there will not be so much work to do, and the helpers will have more time to devote to the study of the Word, more time to learn how to do their work well, and more time to answer the inquiries of the patrons who are desirous of learning about the principles of health reform. If we fulfill the purpose of God in this work, the righteousness of Christ will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our reward. But if there is no ingathering of souls, if the helpers themselves are not spiritually benefited, if they are not glorifying God in word and deed, why should we open and maintain such establishments? If we cannot conduct our restaurants to God's glory, if we cannot exert through them a strong religious influence, it would be better for us to close them up and use the talents of our youth in other lines of work. But our restaurants can be so conducted that they will be the means of saving souls. Let us seek the Lord earnestly for humility of heart, that he may teach us how to walk in the light of his counsel, how to understand his word, how to accept it, and how to put it into practice. There is danger that our restaurants will be conducted in such a way that our helpers will work very hard, day after day and week after week, and yet not be able to point to any good accomplished. This matter needs careful consideration. We have no right to bind our young people up in a work that yields no fruit to the glory of God. There is danger that the restaurant work, though regarded as a wonderfully successful way of doing good, will be so conducted that it will promote merely the physical well-being of those whom it serves. A work may apparently bear the features of supreme excellence, but it is not good in God's sight unless it is performed with an earnest desire to do his will and fulfill his purpose. If God is not recognized as the author and end of our actions, they are weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and found wanting.
Chapter 4. Closing Our Restaurants on Sabbath.
The question has been asked, should our restaurants be opened on the Sabbath? My answer is no, no. The observance of the Sabbath is our witness to God, the mark or sign between him and us that we are his people. Never is this mark to be obliterated. Were the workers in our restaurants to provide meals on the Sabbath the same as they do through the week for the mass of people who would come, where would be their day of rest? What opportunity would they have to recruit their physical and spiritual strength? Not long since, special light was given me on this subject. I was shown that efforts would be made to break down our standard of Sabbath observance, that men would plead for the opening of our restaurants on the Sabbath, but that this must never be done. A scene passed before me. I was in our restaurant in San Francisco. It was Friday. Several of the workers were busily engaged in putting up packages of such foods as could be easily carried by the people to their homes, and a number were waiting to receive these packages. I asked the meaning of this, and the workers told me that some among their patrons were troubled because, on account of the closing of the restaurant, they could not on the Sabbath obtain food of the same kind as that which they used during the week. Realizing the value of the wholesome foods obtained at the restaurant, they protested against being denied them on the seventh day, and pleaded with those in charge of the restaurant to keep it open every day in the week, pointing out what they would suffer if this was not done. "What you see today," said the workers, "is our answer to this demand for the health foods upon the Sabbath. These people take on Friday food that lasts over the Sabbath, and in this way we avoid condemnation for refusing to open the restaurant on the Sabbath. The line of demarcation between our people and the world must ever be kept unmistakably plain. Our platform is the law of God, in which we are enjoined to observe the Sabbath day. For as is distinctly stated in the 31st chapter of Exodus, the observance of the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, he declares, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. We are to heed a thus saith the Lord, even though by our obedience we cause great inconvenience to those who have no respect for the Sabbath. On one hand, we have man's supposed necessities. On the other, God's commands. Which have the greatest weight with us? In our sanitariums, the family of patients with the physicians, nurses, and helpers must be fed upon the Sabbath as any other family, with as little labor as possible. But our restaurants should not be opened on the Sabbath. Let the workers be assured that they will have this day for the worship of God. The closed doors on the Sabbath stamp the restaurant as a memorial for God, a memorial which declares that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and that on it no unnecessary work is to be done. I have been instructed that one of the principal reasons why hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms should be established in the centers of large cities is that by this means the attention of leading men will be called to the third angel's message. Noticing that these restaurants are conducted in a way altogether different from the way in which ordinary restaurants are conducted, men of intelligence will begin to inquire into the reasons for the difference in business methods, and will investigate the principles that lead us to serve superior food. Thus, they will be led to a knowledge of the message for this time. When thinking men find that our restaurants are closed on the Sabbath, they will make inquiries in regard to the principles that lead us to close our doors on Saturday. In answering their questions, we shall have opportunity to acquaint them with the reasons for our faith. We can give them copies of our periodicals and tracts, so that they may be able to understand the difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not all our people are as particular as they should be in regard to Sabbath observance. May God help them to reform. It becomes the head of every family to plant his feet firmly on the platform of obedience.
Chapter 5. Healthful Foods.
Currumbong, New South Wales, March 10, 1900. During the past night, many things have been opened before me. The manufacture and sale of health foods will require careful and prayerful consideration. There are many minds in many places to whom the Lord will surely give knowledge of how to prepare foods that are healthful and palatable if he sees that they will use this knowledge righteously. Animals are becoming more and more diseased, and it will not be long until animal food will be discarded by many besides Seventh-day Adventists. Foods that are healthful and life-sustaining are to be prepared so that men and women will not need to eat meat. The Lord will teach many in all parts of the world to combine fruits, grains, and vegetables into foods that will sustain life and will not bring disease. Those who have never seen the recipes for making the health foods now on the market will work intelligently, experimenting with the food productions of the earth, and will be given light regarding the use of these productions. The Lord will show them what to do. He who gives skill and understanding to his people in one part of the world will give skill and understanding to his people in other parts of the world. It is his design that the food treasures of each country shall be so prepared that they can be used in the countries for which they are suited. As God gave manna from heaven to sustain the children of Israel, so he will now give his people in different places skill and wisdom to use the productions of these countries in preparing foods to take the place of meat. These foods should be made in the different countries, for to transport them from one country to another makes them so expensive that the poor cannot afford them. It will never pay to depend upon America for the supply of health foods for other countries. Great difficulty will be found in handling the imported goods without financial loss. All who handle the health foods are to work unselfishly for the benefit of their fellow men. Unless men allow the Lord to guide their minds, untold difficulties will arise as different ones engage in this work. When the Lord gives one skill and understanding, let that one remember that this wisdom was not given for his benefit only, but that with it he might help others. No man is to think that he is the possessor of all knowledge regarding the preparation of health foods, or that he has the sole right to use the Lord's treasures of earth and tree in this work. No man is to feel free to use according to his own pleasure the knowledge God has given him on this subject. Matthew 10:8 says, "Freely ye have received, freely give." It is our wisdom to prepare simple, inexpensive, healthful foods. Many of our people are poor, and healthful foods are to be provided that can be supplied at prices that the poor can afford to pay. It is the Lord's design that the poorest people in every place shall be supplied with inexpensive, healthful foods. In many places, industries for the manufacture of these foods are to be established. That which is a blessing to the work in one place will be a blessing in another place where money is very much harder to obtain. God is working in behalf of his people. He does not desire them to be without resources. He is bringing them back to the diet originally given to man. Their diet is to consist of the foods made from the materials he has provided. The materials principally used in these foods will be fruits and grains and nuts, but various roots will also be used. The profits on these foods are to come principally from the world rather than from the Lord's people. God's people have to sustain his work. They have to enter new fields and establish churches. On them rest the burdens of many missionary enterprises. No unnecessary burdens are to be placed upon them. To his people, God is a present help in every time of need. Great care should be exercised by those who prepare recipes for our health journals. Some of the specially prepared foods now being made can be improved, and our plans regarding their use will have to be modified. Some have used the nut preparations too freely. Many have written to me, "I cannot use the nut foods. What shall I use in the place of meat?" One night I seemed to be standing before a company of people, telling them that nuts are used too freely in their preparation of foods, that the system cannot take care of them when used as in some of the recipes given, and that if used more sparingly, the results would be more satisfactory. The Lord desires those living in countries where fresh fruit can be obtained during a large part of the year to awake to the blessing they have in this fruit. The more we depend upon the fresh fruit, just as it is plucked from the tree, the greater will be the blessing. Some, after adopting a vegetarian diet, return to the use of flesh meat. This is foolish indeed and reveals a lack of knowledge of how to provide proper food in the place of meat. Cooking schools, conducted by wise instructors, are to be held in America and in other lands. Everything that we can do should be done to show the people the value of the Reform diet.
Chapter 6. Manufacture of Health Foods.
Written at St. Helena, California, February 16, 1901. Last night I seemed to be speaking to our people, telling them that as Seventh-day Adventists we must cultivate love, patience, and true courtesy. Jesus will strengthen the leaders of his people if they will learn of him. God's people must strive to reach the very highest standard of excellence, especially should those who are medical missionaries manifest in spirit, word, and character that they are following Christ Jesus, the divine model of medical missionary effort. I have a most earnest desire that in every place the work shall be carried forward in accordance with his commands. I see trouble ahead as high as mountains for our people in the way in which some things are now being done, and especially in regard to the health food business. As we advance, we shall have to meet very difficult problems of human invention, which will bring much perplexity. Scheming tends to dishonesty. With great skill and with painstaking effort, Dr. Kellogg and his associates have prepared a special line of health foods. Their chief motive has been to benefit humanity, and God's blessing has rested upon their efforts. If they follow in the counsel of God, if they walk after the example of Christ, they will continue to advance, for God will give skill and understanding to those who seek him unselfishly. In many respects, improvements can be made in the health foods sent out from our factories. The Lord will teach his servants how to make food preparations that are more simple and less expensive. There are many whom he will teach in this line if they will walk in his counsel and in harmony with their brethren.
Chapter 7. To Our Brethren in All Lands.
The Lord has instructed me to say that he has not confined to a few persons all the light there is to be received in regard to the best preparations of health foods. He will give to many minds in different places tact and skill that will enable them to prepare health foods suitable for the countries in which they live. God is the author of all wisdom, all intelligence, all talent. He will magnify his name by giving to many minds wisdom in the preparation of health foods. And when he does this, the making of these new foods is not to be looked upon as an infringement of the rights of those who are already manufacturing health foods, although in some respects the foods made by the different ones may be similar. God will take ordinary men and will give them skill and understanding in the use of the fruit of the earth. He deals impartially with his workers. Not one is forgotten by him. He will impress businessmen who are Sabbath keepers to establish industries that will provide employment for his people. He will teach his servants to prepare less expensive health foods, which can be bought by the poor. In all our plans, we should remember that the health food work is the property of God, and that it is not to be made a financial speculation for personal gain. It is God's gift to his people, and the profits are to be used for the good of suffering humanity everywhere. Especially in the southern states of North America, many things will be devised and many facilities provided that the poor and needy can sustain themselves by the health food industries. Under teachers who are laboring for the salvation of their souls, They will be taught how to cultivate and prepare for food those things that grow most readily in their locality.